May 31, 1926. Difference between one who lives in the divine will and one who is resigned and submitted to it. The first one is sun, the second is earth, which lives of the effects of the light. The light of the divine will continues to envelop me, and my little intelligence, while swimming in the immense sea of this light, can just barely take a few drops of light and a few little flames of the so many truths, knowledges and happinesses that this endless sea of the eternal will contains. And many times I cannot find the right words in order to put on paper that little bit of light. I say a little compared to the much I leave out, because my little and poor intelligence takes as much as is enough to fill me, the rest I have to leave out. It happens as to a person who dives into the sea, he becomes all wet, water flows everywhere on him, and maybe even in his bowels. But as he goes out of the sea, how much of all the water of the sea does he carry with himself? Very little, indeed almost nothing compared to the water that remains in the sea. And by having been in the sea, can he perhaps say how much water, how many species of fish and quantities of them there are in the sea? Certainly not. But he will be able to speak of the little he has seen of the sea. Such is my poor soul. Then, while I was in this light, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, "My daughter, this is the unity of the light of my will, and so that you may love it more and more and be confirmed more in it, I want to make known to you the great difference which exists between one who lives in my will, in the unity of this light, and one who resigns and submits himself to my will. In order to make you comprehend this well, I will give you a simile from the sun which is there on the horizon. The sun, being in the vault of the heavens, spreads its rays over the surface of the earth. Look, between the earth and the sun there is a sort of agreement. The sun touches the earth, and the earth receives the light and the touch of the sun. Now, by receiving the touch of the light, submitting to the sun, the earth receives the effects which the light contains, and these effects transmute the face of the earth. They make it turn green again, they make it flower, plants develop, fruits mature, and many other wonders which can be seen on the face of the earth, always produced by the effects contained in the solar light. But by giving its effects, the sun does not give its light. On the contrary, it jealously preserves its unity, and its effects are not lasting, and therefore one sees the poor earth, now all flowery, now all stripped. It changes almost at each season, and undergoes continuous mutations. If the sun gave to the earth effects and light, the earth would change into sun and would have no more need to beg for the effects, because, containing the light within itself, it would become the owner of the source of the effects which the sun contains. Now, such is the soul who resigns and submits to my will, she lives of the effects contained in it. Not possessing the light, she does not possess the source of the effects contained in the sun of the eternal volition, and therefore she looks almost like the earth, now rich in virtues, now poor. She changes at every circumstance. Even more, if she is not always resigned and submitted to my will, she would be like an earth that does not want to let itself be touched by the light of the sun. In fact, if the earth receives its effects, it is because it lets itself be touched by its light, otherwise it would remain squalid, unable to produce a single blade of grass. So remained Adam after sin. He lost the unity of the light, and therefore the source of the goods and effects which the sun of my will contains. He could no longer feel the fullness of the divine sun within himself. He could no longer see within himself that unity of light which his Creator had fixed in the depth of his soul, and which, communicating his likeness to him, made of him his faithful copy. Before sinning, since he possessed the source of the unity of light with his Creator, each little act of his was a ray of light which, invading the whole creation, went to fix itself in the center of his Creator, bringing him the love and the return for all that had been made for him in the whole creation. He was the one who harmonized everything and formed a note of accord between heaven and earth. But as soon as he withdrew from my will, His acts no longer invaded heaven and earth like rays, but they shrank, almost like plants and flowers, within the little circle of his field. So, losing the harmony with all creation, he became the clashing note of all creation. Oh, how low he descended, and cried bitterly over the lost unity of light, which, raising him above all created things, made of Adam the little god of the earth? Now, my daughter, from what I have told you, you can comprehend that the living in my will is to possess the source of the unity of the light of my will, with all the fullness of the effects contained in it. So, light, love, adoration, arise in each act of the creature, which, constituting itself act for each act, love for each love, like solar light invades everything, harmonizes everything, centralizes everything within itself. And like a shining ray it brings to her creator the return for all that he has made for all creatures and the true note of accord between heaven and earth. What a difference between one who possesses the source of the goods which the Son of my will contains, and one who lives in the effects of it. It is the difference that exists between the sun and the earth. The sun always possesses the fullness of its light and effects. It is always blazing and majestic in the vault of the heavens, nor does it need the earth. While it touches everything, it is untouchable, it does not let itself be touched by anyone. And if anyone dared even to fix on it, it would eclipse him, blind him and knock him down with its light. On the other hand, the earth is in need of everything, it lets itself be touched and stripped. And if it wasn't for the light of the sun and its effects, it would be a gloomy prison, full of squalid misery. Therefore, there is no comparison that holds between one who lives in my will and one who submits to it. So, before sinning, Adam did possess the unity of light, but he could no longer recover it during his life. It happened to him as to the earth that turns around the sun, not being fixed, in turning around, it opposes the sun and forms the night. Now, in order to render him firm again so that he might sustain the unity of this light, a repairer was needed, and this repairer was supposed to be superior to him. A divine strength was needed in order to straighten him up. Here is the necessity of redemption. My celestial mama also possessed the unity of this light, and this is why, more than sun, she can give light to all. It was never nighttime, nor was there ever a shadow between her and the Supreme Majesty, but always full daylight. Therefore, in each instant, this unity of the light of my will made the whole of the divine life flow within her, which brought her seas of light, of joys, of happinesses, of divine knowledges, seas of beauty, of glory, of love. And she, as though in triumph, brought all these seas to her Creator as her own, to attest to him her love, her adoration, and to charm him with her beauty. And the divinity made flow yet more and new beautiful seas. She possessed so much love that, as though naturally, she could love all, adore and make up for all. Her littlest acts done in the unity of this light were superior to the greatest acts and to all the acts of all creatures together. Therefore, the sacrifices, the works, the love of all other creatures can be called little flames before the sun, little drops of water before the sea, compared to the acts of the Sovereign Queen. And this is why, by virtue of the unity of this light of the Supreme Volition, she triumphed over everything and conquered her very Creator, making him a prisoner in her maternal womb. Ah! Only the unity of this light of my will, which she ruled over everything possessed, was able to form this prodigy which had never before occurred, administering to her acts worthy of this divine prisoner. By losing this unity of light, Adam turned himself upside down and formed night, weaknesses, passions, for himself and for the generations. By never doing her own will, this excelling virgin remained always straight, and facing the eternal sun. Therefore it was always daylight for her, and she made the day of the Sun of Justice arise for all generations. If this virgin queen had done nothing else but preserve the unity of the light of the eternal volition in the depth of her immaculate soul, This would have been enough to give us back the glory of all, the acts of all, and the requital of love of all creation. Through her, by virtue of my will, the divinity felt come back to itself, the joys and the happiness which it had established to receive through creation. Therefore she can be called the Queen, the Mother, the Foundress, the base and the mirror of my will, in which all can reflect themselves to receive its life from her. After this, I felt as though soaked with this light, and I comprehended the great prodigy of living in the unity of this light of the supreme volition. And my sweet Jesus, coming back, added, "My daughter, Adam in the state of innocence and my celestial mama possess the unity of light of my will, not by their own virtue, but by virtue communicated by God. On the other hand, my humanity possessed it by its own virtue, because in it there was not only the unity of the light of the supreme volition, but there was the eternal Word. And since I am inseparable from the Father and the Holy Spirit, the true and perfect bilocation occurred, that while I remained in heaven, I descended into the womb of my mama. And since the Father and the Holy Spirit are inseparable from me, they too descended into it, and at the same time they remained in the heights of the heavens." Now, while Jesus was saying this, the doubt came to me about whether the three divine persons had suffered, all three of them, or the Word alone. And Jesus resumed his speaking, saying, "My daughter, because they are inseparable from me, the Father and the Holy Spirit descended with me and I remained with them in the heavens. But the task of satisfying, of suffering, and of redeeming man was taken by me. I, Son of the Father, took on the role of reconciling God with man. Our divinity was untouchable by the suffering of the slightest pain. It was my humanity that, united with the three divine persons in an inseparable way, placing itself at the mercy of the divinity, suffered unheard of pains and satisfied in a divine manner. And since my humanity possessed not only the fullness of my will's its own virtue, but the Word Himself, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit as a consequence of our inseparability, it surpassed in a more perfect way both innocent Adam and my very mama. In fact, in them it was grace, in me it was nature. They had to draw light, grace, power, beauty from God. In me there was the springing fount of light, beauty, grace. So, the difference between me, as nature, and my very mama, as grace, was so great, that she remained eclipsed before my humanity. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive, your Jesus possesses the springing fount, and has always something to give you, and you have always something to take. As much as I may tell you about my will, I have always something to tell you, and neither the short life of the exile nor the whole eternity will be enough to make known to you the long story of my supreme will, and to enumerate for you the great prodigies contained in it.